What is it that inspires us and enables us to be faithful to God and to people? Welcome to The Good Word. We are continuing our series on the fruit of the Spirit, and today we are talking about faithfulness. My conversation partners are fellow teachers at Walla Walla University School of Theology, Aline Bauer and Bruce Johansson. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Now, let's focus in on that question of what is it, and maybe I'd like for us to explore a little bit here the relationship of being faithful to people, being faithful to God. Is there a link there? In other words, if we're faithful to God, does that help us be faithful to people? And if we are faithful to people, does that help us to be faithful to God? Can you give me some help there on that?
The word pistis in this group here, the Greek word is pistis, which normally translates faith.
In the saving sense.
In the saving sense.
Yes.
And also in the sense of belief.
Uh-huh.
So you have faith, and then you have the saving sense, which is faith as trust.
Uh-huh.
I think the semantic element of trust is very powerful here.
Mm-hmm. In this list.
In this list.
Yeah.
To be faithful to someone is a way of, to people, being faithful to people and being faithful to God is a way of strengthening relational ties,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
without which this whole world would just go all to pieces. Mm-hmm. If you don't have trust in this world, you only have chaos. Relationships are gone.
Yeah.
This is very foundational. And I think what the gospel is all about is God's faithfulness to us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He is faithful to us by providing grace through Jesus Christ. And it is out of that basis. I think the connection between faithfulness to people and faithfulness to God are deeply interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Whether people are explicitly aware that faithfulness to God is somehow in the equation.
Well, I've noticed that colleagues and students who have had difficulties in their home where there's not been this positive relationship
yeah.
often then struggle in terms of their relationship with God.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. And with other people.
And with other people. Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting that Paul uses this example as one of the fruit of the Spirit, because the Galatians had certainly not been faithful in keeping their relationship with Paul.
No.
They began to
mm-hmm.
doubt him, and mm-hmm. So you almost wonder in the back of his mind as he's thinking about what had transpired between them in terms of faithfulness and trustworthiness in him as their apostle for them.
Now, let me press an issue, and I really didn't include this in the study guide, but it seems to me appropriate right here. We've asked the question on virtually every one of these fruits, how do I get more?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
How can I encourage the fruit? And in this case, how can I encourage the fruit of trust, faithfulness? Does Scripture give us any help as to how we can become more trusting, more faithful?
It seems that it may even be baby steps. You take a step and say, is God trustworthy in this? And it's the same way with the relationship with people. You maybe trust somebody with a secret. Are they trustworthy in that? And as you learn that you can trust someone, then your relationship mm-hmm. continues to grow and develop. And one text, great is thy faithfulness. You know, in the Psalms, mm-hmm. you hear that over
and
over.
It's one of my favorite hymns.
Yeah. Yeah. Great is thy faithfulness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you have 1 Thessalonians at the very end of the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
There's this call to behave in responsible ways. And then at the end of it, you have a little wish prayer. And at the end of the wish prayer, where he prays that God will keep us steadfast and sanctify us, God is faithful
mm-hmm.
and he will do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at life, trusting people is a tricky business.
Mm-hmm.
If our faithfulness is based on our human experiences, there are very few fortunate people.
Mm-hmm.
You always take huge risks when you trust in a lot of different kinds of people in different circumstances. And you know, some people just get steamrolled.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember Daryl Bigger's comment after the tragedy when his daughter was raped and murdered.
Yeah.
He said the most difficult thing for him is he has a hard time trusting people.
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Daryl has always been a very trusting person, and now all of a sudden, you know, it just became very difficult.
Mm-hmm. The more negative experiences we have, the harder it is. And I think that is something that should drive us to the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because Jesus came down to manifest that God, in the worst circumstances, is faithful.
He's faithful.
And that he can bring good stuff out of it. He doesn't bring it to us, but he can bring good things.
And as we are in Galatians here, led by the Spirit, you know, born anew, we hopefully become that kind of person for others.
Mm-hmm.
More and more. Not always, you know, there will be the continued struggle, but I think that's Paul's call to us, is to demonstrate that kind of faithfulness in a world where, you know, like Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Yeah.
Mean what you say.
Yeah, it is such a wonderful gift when you are in trouble to be able to go to a person and know that you can trust that person.
Yeah.
They will not betray confidences.
Right.
They will not be too hard on you. They'll not be too easy on you, but they will be your friend in every sense.
You know, Alden, all of these terms, of course, and it's not a surprise in the book of Galatians, all of these gifts are so closely tied to grace.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most amazing stories, I can tell some out of my own life, or where we let other people down, but they were still faithful to us.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the really redemptive situations, and they come from people who have tasted God's faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that would go back, is it really possible for us to have that kind of faithfulness if we haven't experienced God's faithfulness?
Exactly.
See, when we realize that we have received something that we do not deserve, when that really soaks in, then we can reach out and help other people.
When they don't deserve it.
Yeah, we don't give them what they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
We give them what God wants to give
them,
based on what we've received from God.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that, as I was working on the study guide, that I was quite concerned about is that I worry about many believers who seem to put too much trust on the external proofs for their faith. Proofs from archaeology, proofs from science, and proofs from prophecy, and so on. And I have been struck by those lines in Romans 8, where Paul says, "Now in hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. Or who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." You take the big three from 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. None of those can be proven.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
They all require certain trust,
building
on human relationships. And I think if we could simply admit that more clearly, then we would recognize that when life gets difficult, it isn't that God has been faithful. We just live in a wild world. You know, and he will continue to be faithful for us.
It's almost ironical that the word pistis can be both belief, which is cognitive, and trust, which is relational. And people miss the other side. We do need knowledge. You need knowledge for faith. There has to be belief, cognitive. But what really makes it come alive and live and change our lives is the other element of faith, which is faithfulness, trusting, and being trustworthy. Those are the things that change our lives.
Now, isn't there kind of a third element there, Bruce? Faithfulness in terms of being a faithful life, which is more than simply just...
Yes.
In other words, you've got several different slices here.
Yeah, really. It becomes kind of a consistency of faithfulness.
But how do you answer people who do not feel God has been faithful to them? You know, maybe they have prayed for an answer. I mean, you see that.
Yes, those are very difficult
questions. And that's tough. I mean, it sounds very, very nice for us to say, you know, have faith in this God that's good, and yet they look at their own life and see prayers that seemingly have not responded. And they've lost their faith in God.
Well, it seems to me, Aileen, that we've probably, the gospel of wealth doesn't help us deal with disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, it's all over the place in American culture right now.
Well, I say that, you know, God didn't spare his own son.
Right.
I think you have to come back to the story. You have to take the long view.
Mm-hmm.
You have to try to see with God's eyes. And you have to see with look at God's example. Yeah. He spared not his own son for the greater good.
And I think it sometimes helps to realize we're in a war zone. You know, we don't realize that, especially if you're in a comfortable culture, that there is a battle that we're a part of.
Yeah. Well, I also think that, you know, especially in America, my students don't like some of the lament psalms because it's whining. You know, we Americans mm-hmm. don't like to whine. But the psalmists are very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
They trust the Lord. They can have these great exuberance. And I like to think of the promise psalms more as testimonies rather than promises. Because we've all experienced that when things turned out far better than we could even dream or hope. Mm-hmm. Just the whole world seems to just be alive with God's light. Yeah. But when we take those as ironclad promises that he will deliver us all the time, that's where we get into difficulty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where I'd like for us in the last few moments here to go to Hebrews 11. The faith chapter. And in particular, as we go down that list here, there's one comparison that strikes me. In Hebrews 11:34, it mentions those who, by faith, escaped the edge of the sword. And then you go down to verse 37, others by faith were killed by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your choice,
mm-hmm.
by faith, killed by the sword or escape from the sword.
Yes.
And when it comes to interpreting specific events, I think we need to be incredibly careful that we don't give the impression that if we're right with God, somehow we get a discount on life suffering.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. He spared not his own son.
That's right.
Jesus did not get a discount because he was good and righteous and loving.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, when it comes to the miracles, I find it intriguing that you simply can't predict in advance how things should go. For example, at the beginning of chapter 12, Herod kills James.
Yeah.
In the same chapter, Peter escapes from prison.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
And he actually leaves prison, and all the guards are killed. Well, you go on a little bit further, and Paul and Silas have an earthquake, which should have given them freedom.
And
but
they
no,
stay there.
They stay there.
Yes.
And as a result, the guards weren't killed. The guard was converted. See?
Yes.
You just can't predict those kinds of things. But,
and you know, the Hebrews chapter also points out that Moses had a soft life lined up for him.
Yes.
But his faithfulness led him into the wilderness.
That's right.
And he had to put up with a bunch of really obnoxious people for a long time.
One other thought that occurs to me is Jesus' question, and I think it's right after the parable where they're continued. He encourages us to keep asking.
Yes.
But he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And to me, that means that even when I don't see the answer I want, I continue to go to him.
Absolutely.
And
that's saving faithfulness.
Yeah.
And that's what you learn in the Psalms. They are always just dumping on God. In fact, they're not afraid at all. There. This is your promise, Lord. And look.
Yeah. And how long before you're going to do something about this?
They still believe in faithfulness. Well, our time is just about up. Thank you, Lee and Bruce, for your conversation today. Next week, we're going to deal with meekness or gentleness. My thanks to Michael White, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For the Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson. We'd like to alert you to the fact that Good Word is available through the Positive Life Radio website, plr.org. When you get to the webpage, under Programs, you'll find Good Word. That way you may listen to it, you can check out the archives, you can order a CD if you wish to do that. All available on the Positive Life Radio website, plr.org.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.